Lunchtime. As I've said before, I love lunch. Let's open my Who Smarted Lunchbox and see what we've got. Yes, it's my favorite PB&J. What about you, kid? You like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Yum.
Oh, yeah? How do you like it? With crunchy or creamy peanut butter? Grape or strawberry jelly? Or a mix of both? Do you prefer white or whole wheat bread? I'm a whole wheat guy myself. Crusts on or cut off? Do you smear peanut butter on one side of the bread and jelly on the other and mash them together? Or do you mix the peanut butter and jelly in a bowl before smearing it on? Do you add honey, bananas, or bacon to it? Ever heard of Elvis Presley? He was a big rock and roll star a long time ago. Elvis loved peanut butter, banana, and bacon sandwiches so much that they named it the Elvis.
First, take a whole loaf of French bread and slather it with butter.
Butter.
Then toast it up till it's crispy brown. Then slice it the long way. Hollow out the inside. And fill one half with an entire jar of the creamiest, creamy peanut butter. And the other half with an entire jar of the grapiest grape jelly.
Oh, yeah.
Then top it off with 1 pound of crispy fried bacon. Mash it together and 8,000 calories of PBJ heaven. Oh, yeah, y'all.
No matter how you slice it, PB&Js are yummy and satisfying. But where did the idea for peanut butter and jelly first come from? Is a PB&J healthy for you? And are Americans the only people who eat so many of them? It's time for another whiff of science on...
Who smarted? Who smarted? Who's smart? Is it you? Is it me? Is it science or history? Listen up, everyone. We've been smarting. Lots of fun on Who's Smarted.
It may be a lunchtime staple today, but that wasn't always the case. And it's not really an obvious combination. So who first thought to put peanut butter and jelly together? To find out, let's break down the three main ingredients of your typical PB&J. Say them out loud with me. There's peanut butter, jelly, and... sardines.
Ugh.
Just kidding. Bread.
Oh, God.
Unless you eat it on a spoon or over a plate of sardines.
Yuck.
Let's start with peanut butter. Do you know where it came from?
Nope.
Contrary to popular belief, it was not invented by Dr. George Washington Carver. The peanut butter we know and love today actually began as a peanut paste invented in the 1880s by a doctor who needed something to feed his older patients who had trouble eating solid foods.
But try this new peanut paste I concocted, Ethel. It'll give you much-needed calories and protein without being difficult to chew.
Mmm, delicious. I don't even need teeth.
The new peanut paste was introduced to the public at the 1893 World's Fair in Chicago, where it was deemed a food of the future. Then, in 1901, the first known reference to peanut butter and jelly sandwiches appeared in a little-known cooking school magazine by a chef named Julia Chandler.
For variety, try making sandwiches of 3 thin layers of bread and 2 layers of filling, peanut paste and crabapple jelly. The combination is delicious and, as far as I know, original.
Back then, peanut paste was expensive and considered a delicacy. Fancy tea rooms in New York City served it with watercress.
Huh?
Pimento cheese.
Gross.
And on thin toast triangles.
Okay, yeah, that's okay.
Soon after, factories began perfecting the process of making peanut paste, adding sugar, which made it tastier, creamier, and smoother.
Mmm.
And leading to a new name, peanut butter. True or false? Does peanut butter contain butter? Nope. Peanut butter is made from ground peanuts and ingredients like palm oil, salt, sugar, and molasses. Peanut butter does not contain any dairy butter. It is, however, considered a butter because it's a soft spread commonly placed on bread. Soon, peanut butter was mass-produced, making it less expensive and more attractive to grocery stores who began stocking it on their shelves.
Where's the peanut butter aisle?
The question is, now that Americans had access to all this peanut butter, What were they going to do with it? What would you do with it? Enter Otto Rauwitter, an American inventor who would not only change the future of peanut butter, but the world.
People love bread, but hate having to cut it.
Darn it!
What if I took a loaf of bread and pre-sliced it for my customers? That way, kids can make sandwiches without fear of cutting themselves with sharp bread knives. This could be the greatest invention since...
Oh, the wheel!
Thanks to Otto's bread slicing machine, sliced bread filled kitchen pantries across the country, and Americans began looking for new spreads to put on it. Peanut butter was a natural choice. During the Depression, the combination of low cost, high nutrition, and ease of assembly made peanut butter sandwiches extremely popular with kids. There was just one problem.
It sticks to the roof of my mouth. It's hard to swallow.
If you've ever eaten a mouthful of peanut butter, you know the feeling. Sure, a glass of cold milk can help, but a good sandwich shouldn't rely on needing milk to enjoy it. If only there was something else that could make peanut butter easier to swallow. Something sweet and squishy and tasty. What could this mystery ingredient be? I know, sardines.
Huh?
Just kidding. Can you say jelly to the rescue? But what is jelly?
I don't know.
A few years before peanut butter sandwiches became popular, a man named Paul Welch discovered a way to puree Concord grapes and turn them into a jelly he called Grape-A-Lade. During World War II, the government added two new items to the military rations menu, peanut butter and Grape-A-Lade, but they weren't originally intended to be eaten together. You see, soldiers had a limited food supply. Along with the peanut butter and Grape-A-Lade, they also got a slice or two of bread. It wasn't long before some adventurous eaters decided to get creative.
Listen up, men! I've got an idea! You take your two slices of bread, you smear peanut butter on one and Grape-A-Lade on the other, then you smash them together, and boom! You got yourself a lightweight, easy-to-pack snack you can bring on long marches right up to the front lines! I call it the Peanut Butter Grape-A-Lade Sliced Bread Sandwich.
Well, I don't know, Sarge. That sounds like a mouthful.
Oh, fine. Call it peanut butter and jelly for all I care. But there's no way that'll ever catch on. Oh, infantry.
But catch on it did. And when the troops returned home, they wanted more of this magical sandwich, causing peanut butter and jelly sales to skyrocket. Kids loved it because it tasted great.
Yummy!
And parents loved that it was nutritious and easy to make.
I packed you a PB&J.
It was perfect for college students and families on a budget, too. Soon, PB&Js were a fixture in American cuisine. Question: how many PB&Js does the average American eat in their lifetime? Is it A, around 100? B, 1,000? C, 3,000? Or D, a million? Stick around to find out. And now, back to Who Smarted. So, how many PB&Js does the average American eat in their lifetime? Well, a recent survey estimated that most Americans will devour close to 3,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in their lifetime. 2,984, to be exact.
Who's counting?
If you stacked that many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on top of each other, it would be taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Whoa.
And our obsession starts young. The average American gets their first taste of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich at the age of 4.
Yum!
Here's something I bet you didn't know.
Huh?
PB&Js are actually good for the planet. Peanuts take much less water to produce than many other crops, and they add beneficial nutrients to the soil. And if you're allergic to peanuts, there are peanut-free peanut butters that you can enjoy. Yet, despite being healthy, environmentally friendly, and popular in America, the rest of the world hardly eats them at all. Oh well, their loss. Did you know in America, April 2nd is officially Peanut Butter and Jelly Day?
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, that's not the only day to enjoy one. They're good anytime. Ain't that right, Elvis?
This is the best sandwich in the whole country. No, the world.
Looks like Elvis has left the building. I don't know about you, but I am ready to eat a delicious peanut butter and jelly sandwich right now. But first, a reminder, we thrive when our community grows. So please tell a friend about Who Smarted. And Mom and Dad, if you can take 2 minutes next time you're online and leave us a great review on Apple Podcasts, that would be insanely helpful. Now for some credits. A big shout out to Colin in Hilliard, Ohio. We hear you love learning fun science facts. Well, we sure love teaching them. Keep on smarting on, Colin. This episode was written by Jason Peanut Williams. The episode was performed by Dan Bromfield, Jason Williams, Charlotte Cohen, Imogen Williams, and narrated by this guy, Jolly Colbert. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. And the episode was recorded and mixed at the Relic Room Studios. Theme song by Brian Suarez. And the lyrics were written and performed by Adam Tex Davis. Who Smarted was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Colbert. And it is an Atomic Entertainment production.
The Portland Book Festival is happening Saturday, November 2nd at the Portland Art Museum and neighboring venues, including events for the kids at the Judy. This day-long celebration of books is for readers of all ages, with more than 100 authors, local food trucks, a huge book fair, and more. Kids under 17 get in free. Learn more at pdxbookfest.org.